Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another episode of 3GT, Extra Guys Theologizing. I'm Scott Hunt, one of the three regular co-hosts of this popular podcast in Argentina, anyway. And I'm joined, as always, by my fellow co-host, not as always, but usually, Kyle Borg, who is in Winchester, Kansas. How you doing, Kyle?
Hi, Dilly Ho. I'm doing excellent.
I get the reference, Kyle. Or should I call you Ned?
Call me whatever you want.
All right, I'll call you Kyle.
And, just don't go. Never mind.
Don't call you late for dinner. Is that it?
It was going to be that. It was pitiful, though.
That's all right. I wouldn't expect much less, Kyle. Actually, I do expect much less. But
at least we're setting the expectations right. The bar is pretty low for me when it comes to Scott.
And we are joined with Barry York, who is in. Are you in Pennsylvania today?
I am in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania today. I'm attending the Banner Conference. I just got here this afternoon.
And you were able to make it to record 3GT, Barry. We are so thankful for that. Barry is the president of RPTS. If you didn't know, Kyle is a pastor at Winchester, and I am a ruling elder at Marian Reformed Presbyterian Church. So what's interesting, guys, is I know my background, and I know your background. Where you're from. Kyle, you're from Minnesota, is that right?
Yep.
The accent comes out every now and again.
Oh, I have tried so hard to get rid of the Minnesotan accent.
And it's failing. But that's
okay.
You know,
on the whole, yeah, it has failed to those that would be sensitive to it. But like when we go and travel to Minnesota and we hear family members who still live there speaking in their northern accent, we realize that we have come very far with modifying our accents. But to many people, I still have it.
Give into it a little bit. Let's hear you talk like you would if you're up in your homeland.
No, thanks. Barry, I have worked so hard to get away. I'm not going to do it.
and Barry, you're originally from, is it North Carolina?
Yep.
How long did you grow up in North Carolina?
I lived there till I was 11, and then I moved up about fifth grade. I still remember my classmates asking me to say fly a kite. I'd say, fly a kite. Fly a kite.
But I will speak Minnesotan if you speak that way for the rest of the episode.
Well, what's fun is you can always tell Barry's from North Carolina. Sometimes, you can't always, but sometimes during his sermons, he will say words just a little bit different than us Midwestern folk would. And I could always pick that up when I was listening to him preach. I'm from Indiana originally, God's country. I know. I am from the northern part of Indiana. I've moved to the central part of Indiana. But the reason I bring that up is I want to talk about planting roots where we go and why we do that. And so I know both of you have travel long distances to be where you are today. Barry, you've done it via Michigan and then Indiana and now Pennsylvania. Kyle, you were in Minnesota. Did you go where you did your undergrad in Minnesota, right?
No, I did undergrad in Wisconsin.
Okay, which is Minnesota like.
Basically, kind of. Minnesota East.
Yes. And then Michigan. So you just kind of moved progressively east.
I did. I did. But never progressively, never progressively. I'm not a progressive.
You migrated conservatively.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And there in Michigan, I was at Puritan Seminary under the tutelage of Joel Beakey.
Yes, where you learn to read the Puritans but don't speak like the Puritans, right?
That's right. That's right.
Because I don't think they would speak with the Minnesota accent either.
No, they don't.
How do they drink their milk?
I have no idea. They sip it.
Okay. I just curious. And I apologize, a little bit of an inside joke there. But you guys have both traveled many different places, and I assume in each place you went, you've placed roots and flourished where you were, and then the Lord moved you on. So I kind of want to talk about kind of the necessity, the benefit, the difficulty of planting roots where God has you today. So I want to begin with, Barry, you went to Michigan University, where the Lord saved you. Did you develop any deep roots there in Ann Arbor while you were in college?
No, I wouldn't really say I did. I spiritually speaking, I did. Just with the believers that were around me during that time, I still have some of those relationships that last today, but not necessarily in Ann Arbor itself, because I would just go there for school and then come home over the summer breaks and left there after I graduated.
Why would you want to go home during summer breaks, dude? I know.
Yes.
Cold water, right?
Yes. Certain young lass that was there.
Yes. But when you went to Purdue, you did kind of plant some deep roots, right?
Yeah, I really feel that the Lafayette congregation became my home church. Still feel like I'm going home when I go back there. We didn't live there for very long. It was only 3 years. I did one internship there during seminary, but it was relationships. Deep relationships with people that I lived with a couple, Bill and Lois Long, before we got married. And then just it was newly married and really became part of a church for the first time in our lives, really. And so that had a lot to do with just that little sense of Lafayette being home.
And Kyle, what about you? When you were in college, did you establish any roots there in Wisconsin?
No, not really. I viewed some of my college years, and somewhat similar with seminary, although I think having an established household and a marriage in seminary probably helped in this capacity. But I viewed my time, so I went to the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, right on the Mississippi River. And I view that as a huge, like massively transient season of my life. Like I didn't plan on staying in La Crosse, Wisconsin. There was nothing there for me. There were certain factors that brought me there, that were probably all the wrong factors that brought me there. But I think the way that I would describe kind of my Wisconsin years, it wasn't so much about putting roots down. It did become a springboard. And so I was there for 6 years, I think. And it was toward the end where the Lord really did a work in my life, to bring me back a bit as a prodigal son, and so the tail end of my time there was very spiritually formative for me. It's when I kind of came into a Presbyterian context and a Reformed context, and of course that then, like I said, it became a springboard for the rest of my life. And so I look back fondly on that. In my last year, as I came into a Presbyterian church, I would say, Rachel and I were dating. We did try to dig our roots in as much as we could in that church, but knowing full well our time here is very limited. We're going to be leaving. This is not, if I'm going to be a pastor, this is not a place I'm probably ever going to come back to. Which maybe we can talk about some of that and just, how do you handle transient seasons in life? But I would not say I put down roots in Wisconsin.
So, I mean, that's interesting because the Lord drew both of you during times where you would say you didn't really establish any roots or have any deep roots. So let me ask, is it important, I suppose, for young Christians to try and establish or, develop these deep roots where they are? Or how do we encourage young believers in particular, but others, I guess, in the transient parts of life. We'll go straight to that.
I think in the scriptures you see both themes. I think there are times where you see that we're a people of exile or nomadic in nature. We're on a pilgrimage. You see that in characters like Abraham being called out of his own land and being called to the promised land, but then being called to put roots down. And thinking of the people of God during the time of the exile, They're being uprooted on the one hand, but then through the prophet Jeremiah, told to make a life for themselves there and seek the welfare of the city when they were in Babylon. I'm going to see my friend Bill Van Dudewaard, our friend Bill Van Dudewaard, this week at the Banner, and his wife Rebecca wrote a little book called Uprooted, and I remember her putting that out, and part of it was, I think the book opens up with talking about being uprooted from the beauty of Scotland and then being brought to this one town. And she kind of describes the town as sort of dirty and not well kept. It was Kokomo.
I
She
thought it was
doesn't.
Huntington. I thought it was
Well,
Huntington
yeah,
she was
maybe it was.
referring
That's
to.
probably true. That's probably true. It probably was Huntington that she was referring to. But anyway, it was a town in Indiana. But in her book, she talks about that there are times to be rooted, but there are also times where God uproots us. And she explains in that how the Lord does this in our lives to remind us that there's no true permanent place here on the earth for us. We are on a pilgrimage. But I do think, and that's really more the theme of our talk today, that there are times where God really does want us to put down our roots. I've been involved in church planting, and even the imagery of a church plant is the whole idea of putting down roots somewhere. And when we went to Kokomo, we were there for 22 years. And so that really became a place and a home. So I think you have both of those ideas in scripture. And it is interesting to think about them in contrast, and also how they work together with one another.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I think both of those, like you're saying, Barry, are biblical paradigms. What I would say, though, and I think there is a temptation oftentimes when you're in a transient season of life, to kind of treat your surroundings and even the people and even the church at times, this is transient, I'm only here for a short period of time, without really thinking through, yeah, even if it is transient and even if you will be uprooted in a good way, what can you do to make the most of this time? And whether that's young single people in college, one of the encouragements we try to give our young people is, don't let these years escape you. You might not be in regular fellowship and worship with the hometown church, but we want you in another church. We want you there to be edified and to edify others. Right? Even transient seasons are not, God doesn't give us a pass and say all the one another's of the Bible, those don't really matter, in this season of life, wait till you get to where you're going, things like that. So I do think we need to be careful. And one of the examples I've seen of this is Winchester is about 25 minutes from Fort Leavenworth. And every year, Fort Leavenworth is a training base. And every year, 2,000 new students and their families come to Leavenworth. Pretty much anybody that's going to be promoted from a captain to a major in the army has to pass through Leavenworth. And every year, we usually pick up one or two families from Leavenworth. And I think one of the things that has most encouraged me about those families, they're military families, so they know what a transient life is. But they've all come with a purpose that even though we're only here for 12 months, we want some rootedness. We want to be involved. We want to be plugged in. And I just always think, that's always just been such a good example to me. And some of them even saying at the end of a year, like, we weren't expecting too much from this year because we're only here for 12 months, but the Lord really blessed us in learning how to use this season in the best way possible to be as rooted as we possibly could be, knowing military orders are going to uproot us soon.
And Kyle, you hit on something. Don't waste that time, even if it's a transient period. And my mind goes to like a little seedling. We don't often just plant a seed straight into the ground. You usually put it, in something temporary to help cause it to grow, and then you plant that. It's a start. But so is it important? And I think you said it is important even in those times of transiency, I don't know if that's a word or not, to have some kind of root system. So how do we encourage people who are in that transient period of life to not forsake those unto others commands that we have? How do we encourage them to plug in where they are for the time that they have? And what does that look like for a congregation? How does the congregation help in that?
I think it's important to encourage people to, live each day for the Lord wherever you are. And so, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount encourages us not to worry about tomorrow. So if you're a college student, you're not going to be at college for we've had the same thing at the seminary. We just had graduation last week, and it's always a bittersweet time because you really love these students. You appreciate their involvement in the community at RPTS, the family we have there, and then you have to send them off. But if we kept them all, that would defeat the purpose of the seminary. And so, but you do encourage college students, seminary students, while you're here, really make this a home. So be involved, just like Kyle was talking about the families at Leavenworth. You need during that season to really make that your home. And I think church is first and foremost at the heart of all that, because wherever you are, as long as there's a faithful church there, you can have a true spiritual home. And so I think that's one of the chief things I would say to young people, or to anyone really, if you're moving or if you're only going to be in a place for a season, at least make sure you're in a place where there's fellowship, good teaching. That's going to really help you in putting down some roots, no matter how long you're there.
Yeah, I think that in the most basic way is definitely where you start. I think I read once statistically, the two seasons in life in which people professing Christians are most tempted to depart the church, is when they're 18 and they move away from home, so they're kind of being uprooted for the first time in their life. And the second most common season is actually when parents become empty nesters, which I imagine is probably another experience of being uprooted. Like our life has been uprooted. Like we kind of been pulled up. Like where do we fit? Where do we belong? And those are the two seasons where it's interesting because I think again people those are the two seasons people experience probably some of the most uprootedness, just from what is normal, ordinary, and patterned in their lives. And it happens to correspond statistically with the times that they most people leave the church. So I think what Barry's saying is to tell young people that in the least, be committed to a church, and be there for worship and involve yourself in their life and in their fellowship as much as you can. And I do think there is the reciprocal duty of encouraging churches to be welcoming even of that. I don't want to let young people off the hook. There is a responsibility on them. But at the same time, right, churches need to be, especially when you think of young people who are off for college, they're away from their family for the first time in their life. Most of us were very excited for that. Some are probably a little homesick, but the church provides that, right? The church provides a spiritual family and a place for young people to even feel spiritually at home. And it's just so necessary for them to do that and for the church to reciprocate, to take, to let young people know this is not a season we want you to waste. We want to invest in you because these are very formative years. Many of the patterns and the habits that you set in those years, especially with relation to the church, are going to set the course for the next decade or two in your life.
Yeah, and I think when you say it's not just worship, although it's definitely not less than the worship, but it's the life and the fellowship of the church. And so I think what's important, it's not only just going to worship, but going to midweek activities, or, if it's a guy, going to the guy's night out. I think those things are something that churches need to be encouraging, students in particular, but people who are transient in nature. We need to be including them. Don't exclude them because they're going to be gone. Include them, and build them up in that. I think one of the saddest things I've seen is college students go to a church and have nothing else other than just the Sunday morning worship to go to, and there's nothing else there. And it's really hard to take root, even in a transient nature, when that's all you have. I mean, you need that, right? But it needs to be so much more, because I think, and what I'm hearing from you is, just being rooted in where you are is first and foremost in the church, and so you have to be a part of that church and not just show up on Sunday.
And Scott, if I can, so to me, this also isn't just pragmatic, right? This is a deeply biblical principle. So like I think, for instance, of 3 John, probably one of the more neglected letters of the New Testament. But in 3 John, John commends the church, and in particular to Gaius, to whom he's writing, because there are, for lack of a better term, there are these itinerant preachers who are passing through, and Gaius and the church there that John is writing to, he says, all the efforts that you have made towards these brothers, strangers as they are, all your efforts are well recognized. And he goes on to say, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Now that, again, that's kind of more to the itinerant preaching side of things, but there's a Christian principle there. Even for people who are passing through, strangers as they are, transient as they are, the church has a responsibility, I think, in measure to send them out in a manner worthy of God. To say, you were here for this season, we loved you in this season, and now, I don't always like that language of sending, but it's the language John uses there. So, to send them out from that place to wherever the Lord is directing them.
Well, but I think that's I do think it's important that, and you might not like the word sending, but if a person has taken root, even small roots, as it were, there is something profound about a church sending them. So even if it's a student, you send them with your blessing. I know you're not telling me to go somewhere, but I do think it's an encouragement to them to say, yes, we know you were leaving. We'll be praying for you. You'll always have a place in our hearts here if you ever want to come back and visit and be a part of this congregation again. So I do think it's important that we not only receive, but we send these students to us so that they don't feel like they're just being dropped off at the curb and picked off the curb and we move on with our lives. I do think it's important that we maintain contact and love for these people who this passed through for a time.
Hey Scott, one of the
Yeah.
things you're making me think of is in Kokomo, when our college students would go off to like Geneva or somewhere else, and we knew that they were going to be attending a church in the area, we would send a letter from our session just telling them a little bit about our student, the child that grew up in our congregation, asking them to watch over them and to let us know if they had any concerns. I do think that it's very easy just to send them off and then think, well, there's someone else's responsibility. But there was, historically, the sense of in loco parentis, the idea that at college they would be in place of the parent, that they would watch over them. And I think tied right along with what you guys are saying is that our young people need mentors. One of the things I really appreciate about the ministry I saw at College Hill through Titus Martin is they had these groups, they called them DASH groups, and discipleship, accountability, service on the hill, I think is what DASH stood for. But the idea was that they would take an adult in the congregation and they would disciple a couple of college students, Bible study, scripture memory, make sure they're doing things together, having them in their home. And I just think that spirit needs to be a part of what our churches are about. And I know we're not only in this episode talking about college students, but we have college students coming to our church and we're trying to think of ways to be there for them, and that's developing in our ministry. But that same principle is true for any anyone who walks through our door. You think about how often we're encouraged in the scriptures to love the stranger that comes in and to show them hospitality. And so that's a big part of this as well, to help people feel a sense of rootedness.
Well, so I think that's a pretty good segue. I mean, we've discussed the transient nature, but how do we encourage people who are not transient, who are maybe moving to an area that they've never been before because of work or whatever? How do we encourage them? I think in one respect, pastors are a little bit different. I mean, you get sent to an area or called to an area, and you kind of have to establish those roots. But there are other people who move to an area because of work or family or something along those lines, and they don't have the same necessity, I suppose, to establish those roots. So how do we encourage them as pastors, as elders, as churches to really seek to get those roots deep and be part of the congregation, a part of life. So how, what are some ways we can do that for families who are not so transient in nature?
I think the first way it begins is in some measure, I think, to address kind of the attitude of the heart. You know, and to continually foster a measure of contentment. You know, I don't know that this is true of a boomer generation or not, but you often hear with younger generations about wanderlust. And the grass is always green on the other side of the fence. If we can just, you know, kind of we're treating this as a stepping stone, we want to get somewhere else, you know, whatever it is. And we do have to appreciate, without judging the intricacies of providence, you know, we have to appreciate that God appoints our times and our seasons, and he appoints our places. You know, Paul makes reference to that in Acts chapter 17. And so I think it just begins with reminding people, for whatever reason and whatever season you are in this place, that is not beyond the scope of the providence of God. He has purposed you to be here. And so you need to, right? The Bible teaches us then to receive that and to say, okay, I need to receive that from God, and I need to understand that, you know, for as many days as there are, whatever it is, I've been appointed to be in this place. So that's one of the first places that I would begin, is just a constant contentment. And that doesn't mean that sometimes life isn't uprooted. That doesn't mean that a better job opportunity doesn't present itself. It doesn't mean that grandbabies aren't born and suddenly you're like, I'm out of here. I want to be on the other side of the country. I've got grandkids. But none of that should ultimately be flowing out of discontentment. We should have a contentment for where we are. And that's where I would begin.
I remember telling some people, you can't be running from something because you're discontent. That's never going to get you anywhere. You have to run to something. So it was counseling situation where somebody was wanting to move, and you know, we're, obviously you can't force somebody to stay, but you know, just try to encourage them. Make sure you're running to something and not from something. But you know, it kind of begs the question then, why is it so important that we encourage people to establish these roots where they are?
Well, I believe that, you know, for salt to be salt and light in a community, in a place, so we have to make sure that we are willing and desirous to be in that place for that season of our life. I think that's one of the things we need to do, is study our communities to know what they're like. When I went to Kokomo, you know, I had never lived there before, but I spent a lot of time, and I, again, this is a little bit unique, because I was a church planter and trying to reach the community with the gospel. But anyone can do the things I did. I went to the town hall and talked to community developers or the chamber of commerce and got brochures. I got a book of history about Kokomo, and you know, had my eyes open to it. Had a kind of a pretty wicked background. It used to be called the Sodom and Gomorrah of the West back when Indiana was considered the West. So you can learn about your community, and as you
Just is this the Kokomo from the Beach Boys song? I'm so confused. Just, I'm sorry, Barry. I totally interrupted you.
That's okay. So I just think it's important for us to know the people in our community, and to know what the every community is different. It's got its own social events and clubs and places of interest and all these types of things going on. And to just learn about the community also can help you to learn to be content, to find out some of the needs in the community, so that you can be the salt and light that God wants you to be for the people that are there.
I didn't know if Kyle, you had any thoughts
Well,
on that.
so I got a little carried away with my Beach Boys reference, and now
Oh,
the
yeah,
year
to
one.
sing it
What was the question?
in a Minnesota accent. I'm going to hear you sing it in a
What?
Minnesota
Yeah.
accent.
It's okay, Kyle. You do not have to sing it in the Minnesota accent. So the question was, why is it important that we encourage people to establish roots where they're in?
Yeah, because there is a biblical demand that we invest in other people. And you know, within the spheres of responsibility that God has given us, Of course, investment in marriage, investment in children. But we are to invest in the communities that are around us, church and even just the civil society around us. We as Christians have that obligation put on us. And you know, like I often think about the Apostle Paul. In the introduction to the book of Romans, you know, he talks about how he's just longed to be with the Romans, and that he hoped that his journeys would bring him there. And he says, in order that, this is me paraphrasing, but you know, in order that I might impart a spiritual gift to you and edify you, and then he quickly adds, and to be edified by you. Right? Paul right there is setting out this apostolic pattern that we have this obligation in Christ to seek to edify those who are around us and to be edified by them. And that's not going to happen if you just kind of lay dormant. That's not going to happen if you don't do the work of taking root and building relationships and getting to know people and, you know, putting yourself out there. So, right, there is this biblical obligation. We are to invest in people. And you know, it's self-centeredness and it's selfishness that seeks to draw us only into ourselves without a thought about how can I do the most good to the most people around me.
I appreciate that, but I want to get back to something Barry said. So obviously we're talking about getting involved in the local congregation, and you know our roots should be there, and I think that's important. But how important is it to get involved in the community itself as well? You know, I know Kyle, your wife was on the library board for a while. I don't know if she still is or not.
No, she's not.
She's probably thankful about that.
She was asked recently if she was willing to get back on the library board, and like the man of my house, I put my foot down and said no. So,
Was it an elected position?
no, it's appointed by city council.
They still talk to you after the whole Huckleberry disaster?
Oh, let's not bring that up.
Yeah.
Still fighting wars with city council. So.
But you know, how do we encourage people, or and should we encourage people to not just be involved in the church, but to also be involved in the community?
I mean, the plain answer is yes, we should encourage people to do that. We are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. And salt of the earth and light of the world begins where God has put you. You know, I think sometimes Christians are well-intentioned, but they kind of baptize their wanderlust. And it's like, well, I really want to be salt of the earth over there. I want to be light of the world over there. And it's a misguided stewardship, right? We are to be salt of the earth and the light of the world, primarily, first and foremost, where God has placed us. You know, I remember being challenged as a younger man. I went on one of those evangelical short-term missions trips, and you know, rightly so. They said, you know, why is it that you can go on a missions trip and act this way on an Indian reservation? You know, what are you doing at home? Like, what are you doing in your own school? And it's like, oh, you know, I take that. That's a really sound rebuke. So, yes, we should be involved. You know, what that looks like and how all of that plays out, I think is often left to prudence and even at times expediency. You know, not every community is exactly alike. And you know, in a more globalizing world, in a more a world that is more focused in social circles are lived on social media more than like a town center, things like that. I think there's a lot of questions, but yeah, you should be involved as doors of opportunity open themselves to the community around you. Barry cited earlier that we ought to seek the good of the city. I don't take that in some mamby-pamby Kellerite way that we all got to move to an urban area and live in the city, but we are to seek to do good to those that we're around. That's part of what it means to be a Christian in society.
Says the rural church, Tim Keller.
Do not do that.
So, Kyle, are you being salt and light to Winchester?
I try.
To the city council at Winchester?
I'm being salt in the wound to city council.
Sometimes you need to do that as well,
That's right.
I suppose.
I do think too, we've talked about this before, but we're just going to have to keep talking about it because it's just such a pull. Is that so many people are living virtual lives. They're not living real lives, so they're being again, in my generation, it was worrying about TV. It just seems like such a small thing, in comparison today with the digital world just sucking the minds of our young people. So they're thinking about national politics, or they're thinking about this hobby or this Instagram figure or whatever it is. They're thinking about all these things out there away from them and not considering the things close by, close at hand. And that's part of the reason we have to put our phones down and talk to our neighbors and be in our communities. Otherwise, there's so many opportunities we're missing. And I think about, again, how the scriptures describe what true religion is. It's visiting the widows, it's caring for orphans, it's taking concern for people that are right there around you. And I think if we're not careful, especially if we're thinking we're only going to be in a place for a certain period of time, we could miss some wonderful opportunities God has for us just in that short period of time. I think about some people that just for the season I got to be in their lives and how rich my life is as a result of that, and hopefully how I was also an encouragement to them. So we really need to live where we are, and it's very difficult to do in this virtual world.
Well, we're kind of up against the clock. So are there things that you think the listeners should know about planting roots deeply where they are, thoughts and concerns, cautions? No.
No, so I think, I actually would love Barry to just comment briefly on grandparents doing this. Like I don't begrudge any of the grandparents in our congregation or the grandparents that I know just generally in life, but it is an interesting season of life where, and I imagine, I mean, someday I'll be there, but there is a huge tug at a grandparent's heart to be around grandchildren. And Barry, like what how, as a grandparent, as a pastor, how do you interact with that? How do you encourage people kind of in not the final season of life, but in more the final seasons of life? How do you encourage them to be rooted where they are, in light of some of the retirement and grandparent pull and things like that?
Well, as Providence would have it, I'm pretty tired right now because I spent a lot of time with my grandchildren over the last week. First of all, I have one granddaughter right across the road, and even this morning before I left, I was throwing some mulch, and just to see her out there in the front yard with her mom and get to wave to her across the street was a delight. It's nice to have some grandchildren locally. We were with some of them on Memorial Day. But I have grandchildren pretty close to you, Kyle. And part of what we have to do with them, because they're so far away from us, is to really be intentional about time. Our daughter just brought their four children out. And, I had to really carve my schedule so I could just make sure I could give them the attention they needed during the few days they were there. I think that's so important. And it's not always easy because, I had pull of work, and it's right at the time of graduation. There's so much going on around the seminary, but it was just time to give to my grandkids. And I think when they're coming, that my wife does such a wonderful job of making our home their home, so they feel like this is a place they want to be. They love coming and visiting, which is just so wonderful to see that they love being at our house. So I think, whether they're near across the street or half a country away or even further, we have, well, it's Scott's fellow elder, Greg Fisher. They have grandchildren in Australia, and they just make some special efforts to get the time they need to go there or have them here so that they can continue to have that relationship with them. So I think this whole question does get answered a bit generationally, right? That there's something about being in a church, being in a family where there's generations that give a sense of stability, and especially if the family's walking with the Lord, a real rootedness in Christ. And that's where this whole thing goes back when we're rooted here at certain times in our lives here in this world, it's still always pointing to where our true rootedness, where our true heavenly home, where our real citizenship is, which is in heaven. That's what it should all be making us think about.
Appreciate that. I hope our listeners have been encouraged to, I guess, consider and reconsider where they are and what the Lord is doing. Whether you're in Aruba or Jamaica, Bermuda or Bahamas, that's for you, Kyle. You get it? Our
For you,
I
pretty
get it.
mama.
I get it.
We do hope our listeners are encouraged to take root where they are. I guess be content with where they are and still long for that heavenly home that awaits them. We do appreciate you joining us on 3GT. We love hearing from you. So if you have any episode ideas or thoughts or comments, maybe tell us how the Lord is establishing you where you are. We'd love to hear that. You can always email us at 3GT.xyz@gmail.com. This is a self-funded operation. We are all paid what we are worth, which is priceless, right? I
And
remember that
Scott needs
joke.
a new microphone.
I need a new microphone. Mine is on the fritz. It's not working today, so I may sound a little bit different. But no, if you'd like to support us, we'd love that too. But we always enjoy and look forward to meeting with you on 3GT.